This is Slade Robertson from Shift Your Spirits with the second course in the series of classes on divine dialoguing and communicating with spirit. This lecture on automatic writing builds on the attunement, the intentions, and the lessons on psychic development that we established in the first course, Talking to Your Spirit Guides. The four intentions, the discussion of channeling with an emphasis on clairaudient intuition, and the basic vocalization technique you learned all apply to automatic writing as well as talking to your guides. The automatic or spirit-guided writing techniques I want to share with you now represent a deeper, more complex, and more adaptable level of communicating with spirit. This course represents an advanced form of synthesizing your inherent psychic abilities, your intuitive channel, and your relationship with your guides with the language used by your thinking mind or intellect. The attunement you received during the guided meditation in the first course and the power object that you programmed to use when communicating with your guides are still valid and still working as the foundation for these new exercises. You do not need to revisit the guided meditation, but if you're new to these classes and have purchased automatic writing lessons as a separate course, you have not yet received the attunement, so you may wish to check out the classes page on sladeroberson.com and look for Talking to Your Spirit Guides, or go to automaticintuition.com. Both courses are available as a package called Automatic Intuitive Response, which includes the guided visualization attunement, the instructions for choosing and programming a power object, the lecture on dialoguing and the vocalization technique found in Course 1, Talking to Your Spirit Guides, as well as the automatic writing lessons in this lecture and instructions on timed exercises. Additional bonus features in the full Automatic Intuitive Response package include a digital PDF booklet with complete notes from the lessons. These classes are also part of the Advanced Professional Psychic Training Program found at automaticintuition.com. All the specific tips associated with these automatic writing lessons are repeated for you in a text format in a PDF report that you downloaded along with this MP3 lecture. There's also an advanced topic section at the end of the report where you can read and study about how to incorporate the use of divination tools into your spirit-guided writing sessions and suggestions for working on these exercises with a partner or with a group. To the power object, notebook, or computer, we're now adding one more essential tool: a stopwatch, alarm clock, egg timer, or other timing device, which you'll use during the automatic writing exercises. Time constraints are essential elements for capturing and working with the relative speed of the intuitive channel compared to the ego-driven thinking mind that you've learned to accept as the dominator of your language faculties. So let's talk about typing versus handwriting. Intuition occurs in various parts of the body, not necessarily the brain or thinking mind. You may receive intuitive impulses via various energy centers or chakras. Because you want to capture, translate, and use your intuition in a language format on cue, you'll be employing the hands as extensions of the heart chakra in conjunction with the throat chakra, the communication center. Writing bridges the connections between the hands, the heart, and the throat, as well as the mind functions of vocabulary and language. The bottom line difference between handwriting and typing, or whether or not you choose to employ one or the other or both, is a matter of speed. If you're already adept at keyboarding or touch typing, I encourage you to use a computer in your automatic writing sessions because it balances the use of both hands equally. Comfort is certainly a factor. Many people claim that they can achieve or that they experience a different state of mind when they're writing in longhand. Maybe it's the intimacy of your own handwriting or the tactile sensations of the pen and paper. Of course, take into account also that you do want to disassociate from your personal voice. For me personally, that energetic distance from the self is better reflected in the impersonal digital screen where all voices, all hands are homogenized. I can also type much faster and with fewer errors than I can write longhand. If typing slows you down, or if you feel you have to expend extra energy in order to use the technology, if you're less comfortable at the keyboard, then by all means use pen and paper. What you're going for is the most automatic, subconscious extension of your communication process. You don't want to think so much as you want to do. So what is the most effortless and direct way for you to think straight to paper? If you do choose to write longhand, you may wish to balance the hand chakras by literally holding the pen or pencil in your dominant hand and your power object in the other. Other students have told me that they like to take a moment to hold their power object when they begin a channeling or automatic writing session, passing it from hand to hand as a preparatory meditation. You might also wish to tune your heart chakra by singing the deep ah sound low and loud enough that you feel the vibrations extending down your arms from your chest. This physically activates your hands. Remember that simply having your power object somewhere near you or in your line of sight while working will automatically trigger your subconscious to recall the four intentions that were programmed during your attunement. Let me also mention again that for some people, working in a journal that is too beautiful or precious or intimidating may inhibit your channeling sessions. For others, there is a great power in working with special, dedicated materials. Obviously, this is a matter of personal preference. Just keep in mind that the material produced during channeling or automatic writing sessions is not necessarily intended to be finished, polished, or published. You want to write in an environment where you can be productive first and free to make errors. Sometimes the errors and typos themselves can be useful information. Release the need to edit or to correct anything when you're in the midst of automatic writing. Why these time constraints work. More than anything, it's the timing factor that trains your brain to jump in and capture that brief, lightning-fast, automatic, immediate moment of intuitive clarity. Once you capture that moment, jump on the right train, take the first step down the right path, you can bring in your thinking mind to elaborate and explore further. Have you ever been near a lake when the water's calm and suddenly you hear a splash? A fish has briefly jumped or surfaced. You may even catch a flash of motion out of the corner of your eye, and your head immediately jerks around to center on that spot. You see the ripples of the disturbance spreading out. The ripples continue to move across the surface, very slowly compared to that initial splash. You can watch the ripples spreading for quite some time, but you may have missed the source action or the initial disturbance because it happened so quickly. You didn't catch it. You didn't see what kind of fish may have jumped. Maybe the splash was made by someone throwing a rock or by an object falling out of the sky. You didn't catch that part. Your intuitive impulse is the initial splash or disturbance in the still surface of the water that happened so quickly. Your thinking process is the contemplation of the ripples that continue to spread out from that point very slowly by comparison. You have only a split second to witness the automatic intuitive impulse. You have plenty of time to mull it over and think about it, wonder what it could have been, wonder what it means. But in a very real way, your spirit guides are much more likely to deliver brief, powerfully short, simple, no-nonsense information. The clarity and lack of embroidering or embellishment is one of the clues by which I identify spirit-guided impulses. My thinking mind, my ego, my fear, my anxiety, they're all blowhard voices. That voice drones on and on, filibustering 24/7 without a break, and there's a lot of repetition. There's a lot of magnification, too, just as the way the ripples or wake on the water grow and slow at the same time, becoming less sharply defined even as they become relatively larger and move across a greater distance. I want to give you the breakdown on how I personally use automatic writing techniques, which I hope you'll apply to multiple scenarios. Your creativity is your divinity. Words are the handles with which you manipulate thought forms. Words are the magic wands you carry within you. Here are some of the scenarios in which you may wish to use the timed automatic writing techniques. Creative writing and blogging. You can apply adapted forms of these techniques to your productivity as an author. No more writer's block, no more overwhelm and procrastination. Remember that anything you write and share or publish with others is a deeply spiritual creative act, regardless of the specific content or context. Something else you might want to use automatic writing for is setting intentions and/or uncovering a clarity of intention. We're often unclear or undecided because there is a quote-unquote real question or deeper energetic layer behind our words, beneath the superficial questions. Feeling confused or torn often requires unraveling the question or scenario or challenge. Sometimes it's simply about reframing the question in the most authentic way, revising what it is we're really trying to get at. You might want to also use automatic writing for communicating and corresponding with other people in your daily life. All of you as light workers and conscious souls will find yourself in the position of reading for others and counseling them, whether that ever becomes a professional role for you or simply a deeper expression of your life purpose and how you serve other people. As your skills develop, your energy will radiate out and you'll draw even more people to you because of your sensitivity and awareness, or the level at which you serve will become more intense. This energy returns in a circle. The more you practice your divinely guided insight by using it for others, the more your awareness will unfold. You may also want to use these exercises for channeling your authentic self or your higher self. I pull self-talk out here as its own form of communication. Even the most secular, agnostic, clinically therapeutic, or non-mystical schools of thought still acknowledge and rely greatly on the psychological entities and archetypes that make up the whole self. For many, these channels of information may be identical or greatly overlapping with concepts of God and/or spirit entities. Your exploration of these layers may reveal themselves to be layers within layers the deeper you go. The layers may separate further over time. Then again, they may not. You can still develop relationships with them, these layers of self, these voices of self, at any level that works for you. The most practical way to conceptually approach these layered channels and voices and entities is always as within you. Whether they are ego or higher self, God or angelic beings, they are like programs installed within your mind and spirit that may be opened up, accessed, run as a kind of spiritual computer or consciousness browser. They may never feel outside of you, even when they appear to be literally physically external. You may also want to use these exercises for channeling your spirit guides and guardian angels. This is perhaps the most sophisticated perception or the most childlike and imaginative, depending on your comfort level and your personal beliefs. You may think of this as an advanced mosaic, puzzle piece view of a whole image, just as an organism can be broken down and viewed as cells. Like DNA or holograms, individual components contain the whole picture or blueprint. You may access spiritual consciousness at the universal, macro, or micro level, and the information remains the same. Obviously, what determines who or what you're talking to and why is established by your intentions and the context. If you want to access your creativity, engage your creativity. If you want to access God, have a conversation with God. If you want to talk to your spirit guides, invite your guides to talk to you. Whomever, whatever you ask is who answers. You are always right, inevitably. Practice some, any, or all of the various techniques and mix and match the circumstances. Anything that works for you, works. Anything that doesn't work for you, skip it. The only right way is the way that's right for you. I've included a PDF booklet in your download with detailed notes on how to execute the exercises as well as advanced tips on incorporating divination tools into your channeling sessions. Let's talk about vocalizing versus writing. Any of these techniques or exercises can potentially work by vocalizing or by writing. Pay attention to your responses, as they may not come in the expected or desired format. These exercises are designed to produce results in language, but don't discount physical sensations, visions, emotions, or external synchronicities. Typing versus writing in longhand. Again, speed is the first determining factor, comfort the second. If you're more comfortable writing with pen and paper, and you can write faster than you can type, write. If you can touch type faster than you can write, by all means, type. You also want to schedule your sessions. Rather than stopping what you're doing and working with one question in the moment, save your questions up throughout the day or week and set aside a time where all you do is run through the questions you've accumulated. Work with a schedule or time of day that is most conducive to prayer, meditation, channeling, journaling, etc. The consistency trains the brain. Emotional distance is also supported by scheduling sessions. In the heat of the moment, fear or other emotional investments make it more challenging or even impossible to achieve clarity. You also want to set quantity rules. Work with groups of 3 or 5 or perhaps 10 or 12 individual questions or circumstances you want to explore. Sometimes, if I have one major issue, I will present one question with 2 follow-ups. Dig a little for confirmation or connection, but don't be a broken record. For your follow-ups, try alternative ways of stating the question or presenting the problem. Ask follow-ups in the form of, "What am I missing?" or "What am I likely to be surprised by that I'm not looking at?" or "What other issues is this connected to in my life at this time?" Also, timing yourself is important. If you're working with individual questions one at a time, set a timer for 1 minute. Stop and start after each one. I can't police your method, but the trick is to not think. Don't give yourself time to think. Again, jotting down the question and coming back to it at another time will help achieve a little bit of a distance. I achieve the best results by lining up a whole lot of targets and firing at them in quick succession. Create a list of 5 questions and set your timer for 5 minutes and go through them one right after the other without pausing. When doing the timed exercises, or even if you're not timing yourself, write, "My guides say," and if nothing comes, keep typing, "My guides say, my guides say, my guides say," over and over until the words begin to come. The idea is to immediately begin moving the pen or the fingers on the keys and keep them engaged. If nothing comes with one question, skip to the next, just like a game show. Say pass. Try placing the most important or significant questions further down in your list so that you can get in the groove with a few throwaways near the beginning. Just like target practice with a handgun or a batting cage, the first few shots you fire off may help you orient for a bullseye on the 3rd or 4th. You know what I mean? Here's the best formula. Most of my students report that they complete a list of 5 questions well before the 5-minute buzzer sounds. If this is the case for you, take the time and cut it in half. For example, 5 questions in 2.5 minutes. The ultimate goal is to make the time constraints as challenging as you can manage. The best formula for these automatic writing sessions are a higher number of questions combined with a briefer amount of time. Try creating a list of 10 questions and set your timer for 5 minutes. There are some alternatives to using "My Guide Say." You can use "My Guide Show Me" or simply the all-powerful "I Feel." If you've already determined that your impulses tend to be, say, emotional, physical sensations, or visionary flashes, then use "I Feel, I Feel, I Feel," or "I See, I See, I See." If the first time you try this, you end up with a full page of "My Guide Say" typed over and over again for 5 minutes, so be it. Remember how many times it took you when you first learned to ride a bike, dive off a diving board, pull up on water skis, or stay up on roller skates. This is really no different from that. Whenever possible, compose your questions in a way that they cannot be answered with just a yes or no. Even when asking yes or no questions, be aware of how the answers often continue with "yes but" or "yes if." If you have performance anxiety or the individual rules and regulations of these exercises feel too complicated, or you find yourself spending too much time and energy trying to obey the parameters, just throw them out and go for a free-for-all automatic journaling session. If you can't perform to the parameters, at least try maintaining 2 absolute bottom-line rules. Set a strict time limit. Write something, anything, from the first second to the last without picking up your pen or taking your hands off the keyboard. Turn your lack of something to say into a mantra until it breaks. "My guides say, my guides say, I'm writing because I don't know what to write, but I'm typing till I get something." Babble if you must. A true free-for-all is simply to doodle or to draw. I've heard that drawing primitive angels or winged forms in a childlike manner actually calls or invokes angels. Some child psychologists and art therapists literally use this simple technique with children. Whenever you prepare for a session, briefly recall our attunement from class 1 before you begin. Have your magic key or power object at your side. touching it once, holding it for a moment, or just having it in your line of sight is enough to put you there. If you're a writer or blogger, you may benefit greatly from employing these basic techniques as part of your writing workflow with no channeling or necessarily mystical intentions involved. This is the pure form of this technique taught to writers as part of a blueprinting and outlining longer texts that write themselves. The blueprinting and organization is a little bit more involved and a topic for another tutorial, another time, in a different context. But I want to share it with you so that you can understand the origins of the technique and how it evolved for me from a creative writing process into an automatic writing process. Essentially, once your book is blueprinted and your outline is in place, you use the following techniques to flesh out or produce specific pages or shorter section topics. It's certainly ideal for an article-length piece, such as a blog post or an essay. First, you define your thesis statement, your intentions for the piece, by asking, what point do I want to make? What do I want my piece of writing to communicate? Say you're writing an article for a cookbook or a cooking blog, and the example is, craisins or dried cranberries are a great alternative to raisins and oatmeal cookies. Identify three keywords that you know will appear in your piece or that somehow apply to what you want to convey. For example, alternative, delicious, innovative. Reframe your statement in a question format so that the answer would be your thesis statement from above. For example, what ingredients can you put in oatmeal cookies for people who don't like raisins and nuts? Here are the rules of execution. Two of the three keywords must appear together in the first sentence. The third must appear within the first paragraph. You set your timer for 5 minutes and you go. For now, as you're working with these timed exercises in the context of spirit-guided writing, don't concern yourself with identifying keywords first. I'll explain how to incorporate keywords and divination tools in the bonus section at the end of the course booklet. So let's talk about synthesis and story. In all readings, whether they're for yourself, for a friend, or for a client, and if they involve divination tools or not, there's always some level of synthesis involved. Divination tools or channeling or automatic writing may give you the dots in the form of language, but the interpretation or the application of meaning requires you to connect the dots. With automatic writing, you're most likely to produce information in a practical language format you can use without a lot of further synthesis, which is why people use these techniques. You skip straight to intuitive details in the form of, or at least relatively useful, if not startlingly clear, sentences. So what's the story? When trying to synthesize intuitive impulses that may or may not be in the form of words or sentences, such as an image, a feeling, a memory, or a brief phrase all by itself, you must look for the story that can be woven from the bits and pieces. If you're reading for someone else, you look for a common thread in the pieces or a pattern, and then you present these in an explanation or story. A fellow professional intuitive and I once discussed how annoying and difficult it is to be presented with some long, raw, channeled, rambling mess. People like to send me these online all the time, either via email or in comments to my blog posts. They're usually unreadable. Not unlike someone emailing a long, drawn-out jumble of dream images without providing some sense of interpretation, or at least editing the information into paragraphs that make sense and are easy to follow for the audience or the recipient. I like to paraphrase my channeled information. To some degree, I think what makes a good medium or psychic is a decent storyteller. But some of the best information may be fragments that make more sense to the sitter or questioner than the person receiving the information. In this case, oversynthesizing or rewriting may unnecessarily color the information. Of course, no one wants to read a list of fragments either, but when in doubt, stick to this rule. Simply describe what you see or hear or feel without trying to interpret it. Describe it in a story form, like you're recounting a movie or a television show. I'm constantly learning to refine the lingering doubt between literal information and symbolic or metaphorical. I don't always know why guides are presenting me with certain information. Sometimes it seems entirely unrelated, from my perspective, to the question presented by the sitter. I don't know what it means, I just know what I'm getting. I've learned to just spit it out, no matter how random it may seem, and let the person I'm reading for do the synthesis or interpretation for himself. I'll give you a couple of examples. One of the most successful readings I've ever done was for a man named Jim, who called me from France last year. He was an entrepreneur, dreaming of launching a new career or project, and was looking for guidance about where he was heading. He did not tell me anything about what he was considering or what his big idea was. It was a more of a, what do you see me doing in the future kind of question. I don't like doing predictions, but I just sort of went with it. The guide started showing me these almost cartoon-like storybook images of kings, crowns, castles, battlements, vineyards, land, all of it very medieval and romantic. And even as I was describing all this off the top of my head, a part of me was thinking to myself, this is getting a little silly. I'm babbling about kings and castles. I'm sure this man is thinking, what the hell kind of crap is this? But as I said, I've just learned to go with what they give me and not worry about making sense of it at first. The longer I talked and grappled for words that seemed more modern or more realistic, the intuitive impulses just kept getting more and more specific. Architectural terms, nouns and adjectives, all of them increasingly castle-specific and castle-related. As I talked on, I was scanning for something that made sense in the here and now. This man was asking me about his career, after all, not a Disney movie. Finally, our guides responded with some keywords related to real estate, property ladders, flipping, investments, renovation, etc. When I finally paused in my storytelling, Jim, the sitter, exploded with laughter. My blood ran cold. I mean, I braced myself for an explanation of why he was laughing at my reading. Oh my God. He was blown away by the reading. He just went on and on, very animated, excited, telling me he could not believe what I was getting, how accurate it was, and how applicable, all from a very simple, vague question. Long story short, it turns out that his big idea, his dream, was to acquire actual properties with castles on them across Europe and turn them into historically themed bed and breakfast style venues. Turns out he's a very financially successful commercial real estate developer, and this was his dream of taking his fortune to the next level and combining it with something he'd been passionate about since childhood. I was more surprised than he was. I thought I was getting fantasy gibberish, maybe symbolic information at best. I had no idea how literal the impulses actually were. I could not synthesize the meaning of the information in the reading without the client's feedback. Had I not had his response, I would have found the reading nonsensical and possibly useless. Another really brief but similar experience happened very early on in my doing readings for strangers. About a year prior to the reading for Jim, a woman named Sherry had a question not unlike Jim's. She was looking for confirmation about a direction to take her creativity, with an eye toward a passion-inspired business or art project that she'd been contemplating. I listened and I watched the conversation with her guides, not unlike watching a film of her interacting with them. What they seemed to be watching or listening to and revealing to me was a sequence of information or circumstances that featured gardening, planting seeds, nurturing and tending the emerging plants over time until they blossom, tiny acorn to mighty tree, you know, all that archetypal stuff about perseverance, patience, fruition. The thinking part of my mind as I related all this to her was in the background saying, okay, these are universal creative project symbols. They're showing me the process, the energy, the metaphor, the story of her path. Not unlike Jim, Sherry was ecstatic. She revealed to me that her hobby was photography and that she wanted to start her own website and media business focused around flower photography. I'm not relating these stories to you to brag about how great I am or how about my accuracy in picking up spirit-guided information. These stories are significant because without the feedback of the questioner, I would never have known how accurate or literal the information actually was, how to interpret it, how to identify it with psychic hits, or most importantly, what those impulses and dots felt like, where they come from, what part of my brain they seem to be happening in. Working in a vacuum or doing readings for myself, I would simply have jumped to the conclusion that this information was my imagination, or at best it was vague metaphor. The certainty does not come first and up front, and my quote-unquote thinking about it more, or doubting its significance, or worrying about what it sounds like, does not make it better, more accurate, or more powerful. The exact opposite is often true. The intuitive part of you is what it is. The thinking part of your mind may judge the intuitive for better or worse. The thinking part of your mind cannot be trusted to capture the initial automatic intuitive impulse. The thinking part of you may help you synthesize the information, connect the dots, translate the impressions into a story, into language. The thinking part of you may also look back or compare that information to the reality of some situation, or it may be useful in evaluating the effectiveness of trusting those impulses. I share all this to alert you further to the fact that your expectations or your assumptions can actually be destructive to your intuition. You have to be okay with not being sure, with sounding silly, with making a mistake, with voicing something that may not make sense at first or maybe ever. Some of it you will never have proof of. Some of it, if you let it come and take actions that are informed by it, will reveal itself to you as having been a valuable or significant clue that led you forward. My best advice to anyone doing readings and developing these skills as part of a profession: be uninhibited, be unbelievably brave, be absolutely bold. Say what you see and hear and feel, period, and look for feedback from your clients. Judgment or evaluation of your skills comes after the fact. Practice, practice, practice. Just do as many readings for others as you can. It takes quite a bit of audacity to be a professional medium. Just remember, have faith that there's a reason why you're called to do this, and you may be more surprised at your abilities than anyone. This topic speaks to what we call psychic hits. Hits are the individual pieces of information or details that resonate, that have some significance in the physical realm. The important thing to know about hits is that they often do not reveal themselves up front. You don't always know what will prove to be a hit. You don't make sure in advance. The only way to identify a psychic hit and to gain confidence in your ability to channel them is to take action on the information you receive. This is absolutely true when you're reading for yourself. When you're reading for someone else, you require her feedback to identify the hits. Hits are not end results. They are the clues you must follow to arrive at the end results. Without taking action on the information you receive in faith, you may never know the hit for what it is. This is why teachers in this field are constantly preaching that you must take action. Because of the tendency of hits to resemble Easter eggs, little incidental treasures hidden in plain sight, it's important to refrain from editing when you're doing automatic writing. Even typos, errors, or seemingly random tangents may prove to be hits. If you overthink or edit in your initial automatic writing drafts, you may inadvertently annihilate your hits. This is why, again, I encourage you to work in a very rough draft or raw, forgiving environment. Messy, sloppy, bad spelling, bad grammar. Channeling is the one context where you will find me encouraging error-filled writing. Rather than listening to me lecture about the automatic writing exercises themselves and the advanced topics, at this point I want to refer you to the PDF booklet where you can read, study, and begin practicing the automatic writing techniques. There are so many potential variables, and again, the technique itself is not complicated. You will learn more by working with them on your own and adapting them to your ends. Use my timed execution formula as a foundation, but beyond that, get creative. adapt the concepts and techniques, and pay attention to any impulses to customize the process. Ultimately, this is where you begin to perform automatic writing, or where you may begin to incorporate my timing constraint method into your already existing practice. Stay tuned to Shift Your Spirits for announcements for future free teleseminars devoted to discussing your results from working with the Automatic Intuitive Response Divine Dialoguing modality. Instead of devoting a live call-in event to the course materials, I look forward to talking to those of you who are already working with these techniques. We'll discuss any questions you may have, but more than anything, I can't wait to hear about the unique, creative ways that you're using divine dialoguing. So please email me your questions, feedback, and success stories to contact@sladeroberson.com.